195.
Ah, yes, indeed. 195. Looks like we're going to sing first, third, and fourth. Great old hymn of the faith. That's what we need to do each and every day. Take the name of Jesus with you. Let me get over to our right number for the pianist.
We need one. We're going to pray for one.
Yes, indeed. Pray one in. Amen. Take the name of Jesus with you, child of sorrow and of woe. It will joy and comfort give you. Take it then where you go. Precious name, oh how sweet. How it thrills our souls with joy when His loving arms receive us and His songs are tongues and more. Precious name, oh how sweet, oh the birth and joy of Him. Precious name. At His feet, amen. King of kings in heaven reigning, as we stand in Him complete. Precious name, oh how sweet, oh the birth and joy of Him. Precious name. To God. What a great hymn of the faith that is. And that's what we need to do each and every day, church. Take His name with us wherever we go. Tomorrow, Miriam and I and Esther are heading up to the state of Maine to see our new grandson, Aaron Robert Oliver. And we're excited about that, but we're going to take the name of Jesus with us. Amen? Oh, yeah. You can't go wrong when you take Him with you. Praise the Lord. All right, let's grab our Bibles tonight, folks. We've got a brand new series beginning tonight. And it's going to be the book of Galatians. Boy, oh boy, I am so excited about this new series beginning tonight because of the simple fact that the material is so rich, it's so important for this day in which we're living, this book. If there's one book of the Bible that is absolutely essential for our day and age, church, it's the book of Galatians. Because you've got a whole bunch of people under the umbrella of Christendom, I use the term loosely, who are attempting to bring God's people back under bondage. Bondage to legalism. Bondage to religion. Bondage to Moses. Bondage to all kinds of religious ordinances, all kinds of sacraments, and things that we just don't need. Amen? And so the book of Galatians is really important for us today. Now, tonight, in opening, the book has six chapters, 149 verses, 3,098 words. And every one of them is inspired by God. Amen? That's why we count the words in the King James Bible. Because every one of them is inspired by God. Now, look with me here. Before I give our intro on the book, look, we're going to cover the first five verses tonight. Let's read that and then we'll have our introduction to the book. We read in Galatians chapter 1 and verse 1, Paul, an apostle, not of men, neither by man, but by Jesus Christ and God the Father, who raised him from the dead. And all the brethren which are with me, unto the churches of Galatia, grace be to you and peace from God the Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins, that he might deliver us from this present evil world, according to the will of God and our Father, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Well, Father in heaven, how we thank you as we approach the incredible book of Galatians tonight. Lord, you know my heart is so thrilled over the truths contained in this precious epistle that we will uncover by your Holy Spirit. We thank you ahead of time for all the truth that you will impart to us through this book. And Father, we pray that as a result of studying these precious chapters of Holy Writ, we would be strengthened in our walk of faith. We would be able to answer the gainsayers. We would be have a ready answer for those who ask a reason of the hope that is in us. And Father, we just thank you for the truth, the Word of God. We thank you, that, dear Lord, that it is immutable. We thank you that it is eternal truth, which cannot be altered. We praise you for that, Lord God. We're standing upon this holy book tonight, and we give you all the praise for it and ask your blessings upon the book of Galatians in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. 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 Beloved, this book, Galatians, is one of the most important books in the entire Bible for the believer under grace. And that's because it systematically attacks and destroys every attempt of man to bring the born-again believer into a legalistic, flesh-pleasing, religious system of bondage, from whence he has already been delivered by the finished work of Jesus Christ. Galatians has been called the Magna Carta of Christian liberty. It's also been called the Christian's Declaration of Independence. I like that. It's the only Pauline epistle that the great apostle Paul actually penned with his own hand, apart from using a scribe for dictation. Go to chapter 5 as we lay a foundation tonight. In chapter 5, look with me at verse 2. Paul writes, Behold, I say unto you, that if ye be circumcised, Christ shall profit you nothing. Now, here, Paul is saying, I, Paul, say unto you. I'm writing this with my own hand. Go to chapter 6. Look at verse 11. Paul writes, You see how large a letter I have written unto you with mine own hand. Now, Paul, he had a thorn in the flesh. It had to do with his eyes. He couldn't see. Like my sister Ellie, she's legally blind without her glasses. I imagine Paul was somewhat like Ellie as far as his vision went. He couldn't see his hand in front of his face. So when Paul would write something himself, he'd have to make huge block letters about 5-6 inches tall in order for him to read it himself. So he says in verse 11, you see how large a letter. Now, he's not talking about the book of Galatians because it's a small epistle. He's talking about the font size, the letter size of the letters of each word that he's writing. He's writing them real big because he's writing it himself. And he says, I've written it unto you with mine own hand. I didn't use Timothy, didn't use Silas, didn't use Barnabas or somebody to dictate to. I wrote it with mine own hand. Why? Why do you suppose that is?
He was writing the Word of God.
Yes, he's writing the Word of God, but the other epistles he dictated to a scribe. This one is so important for the Christian under grace that he said, I'm going to write this one myself. Make sure, you know, and he did. Glory to God. Now, something else. The purpose of his writing here is clearly because of the false Judaizers who were attempting to infect the churches of Galatia with the false gospel. We're going to see that false gospel next week. A merit-based works gospel which added the bondage of Mosaic law to gospel grace, which you cannot do, in an attempt to pervert or alter the free grace of God. They said, grace is not enough. You need to be circumcised. You need to keep the law. You need to go to temple. Even Peter had been affected by them. Look in chapter 2. In chapter 2, look with me at verse 11. The great apostle Peter had to be straightened out by the apostle Paul, who was the chief apostle. Look in chapter 2 at verse 11. Paul says, "But when Peter was come to Antioch, I withstood him to the face." Now notice in verse 11, Paul doesn't take false doctrine lightly, beloved. We get criticized because we stand for the truth of premillennial dispensationalism according to the King James Bible. We take criticism for this, folks, online. But that's okay. That's okay. It doesn't matter who the human being is. If he's wrong, he's wrong. The truth is truth. And you cannot compromise the truth of God's word. Watch what Paul says to the apostle Peter. "I withstood him to the face." Why? Because he was to be blamed. Why? "For before that certain came from James," that's the pastor at Jerusalem, James the apostle was the first pastor at Jerusalem, He sent apostles, okay, to Antioch. Watch what happens. "Before that certain came from James, he," Peter, "did eat with the Gentiles," which is forbidden for a Jew to do, under the law of Moses. "But when they were come," the Jews, the Jewish believers from Jerusalem, "he," Peter, "withdrew and separated himself from them, fearing them which were of the circumcision." Peter said, "I don't want them to find out that I've been breaking the law of Moses," not understanding the grace in which he already stood. So what did Paul do? Paul straightened him out on it lovingly. We're not talking about chewing someone's head off. He did it lovingly. He said, "Peter, this is what the word of God says. You're under grace. You can eat with Gentiles. It's not going to take, you're not going to lose your salvation." Amen? So, you see, we have to stand for the truth. And beloved, listen to me. As a true believer, you are going to come under persecution from other Christians. Did you hear what I said? Oh, we know we'll get persecuted by the world. We take that for granted. But it hurts when it's true believers that come against you because of your stand for the truth. And Paul said, "He that is an heretic, after the first and second admonition, reject." He said, don't stand there all day long arguing doctrine with someone who doesn't want the truth. You're wasting your time. Folks, I've been around us in circles over the years with these guys. I have had my fill of it. And I don't do it. A fella came on my Facebook page the other day trying to say, you know, you're breaking Sabbath. You're a Sabbath breaker. Ellie, I think Ellie saw the post. And I wrote back to him. I said, "Brother, what are you doing? I just got through telling him I don't argue doctrine." And he starts posting Sabbath promotional links on my Facebook page. You know what I did? I deleted him and blocked him. I'll never put up with him again. Why? Because he's an heretic. And when you tell him, hey, I even told him, I said, "Lord bless you, brother, I understand you believe that way. I don't, you know, no problem." And he start pounding all this stuff on me. This is what they want to do. They want to argue. And Paul says, don't do it. Just stand for the truth and you'll be just fine. Now, throughout the book of Galatians, Paul, by the Holy Spirit, will show the absolute superiority of true Christianity over the law of Moses. Some frequently used words we'll find in this book. The law, 31 times he uses the words the law. The flesh, 18 times. Bondage, 11 times. Faith, 21 times. That's 7 plus 7 plus 7. Spirit, capital S, 15 times. The promise, 10 times. The cross, 6 times. Paul's going to lay it on the line, beloved. You're going to like it. Go to chapter 5, verse 1. Key verse of the entire book is chapter 5, verse 1. "Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage." Paul says, "I exhort you, beloved Galatian believers, stand fast in that freedom that liberty that Jesus has placed you in positionally, you don't have to go back under the law. You don't have to go back under bondage. You can stand fast by the Spirit of God. He's going to show us how in this book. Okay, now we'll get to our text. Chapter 1, let's begin our studies in the book of Galatians. Look with me at verse number 1. Paul, an apostle, not of men, neither by man, but by Jesus Christ and God the Father, who raised him from the dead. This verse number 1, by the way, folks, the 5 verses that we're studying tonight, you won't find no period till the end of verse 5. It's called a progression. The punctuation, even in the King James Bible, is real important. It's a complete thought, in other words. He's building a case, amen? And I love it. Now, in verse number 1, Paul wrote Galatians from Corinth while he was ministering in that great city to the Corinthians. And Paul actually preached in certain cities of Galatia, Antioch of Pisidia, Iconium, Lystra, Derbe. In Acts chapter 13 and 14, don't turn there, you can find that, where Paul covers cities of Galatia and founds churches, New Testament, Bible-believing, gospel-preaching churches, true churches. Now, after Paul left Galatia, there came certain men of Judea claiming to have been sent by James, the pastor of Jerusalem church, and the other apostles at Jerusalem, saying that except they be circumcised and keep the law of Moses, they cannot be saved. Well, I got bad news for those Judaizers. The believers in Galatia, in those churches, were already saved. They were already under grace. They were already received salvation in Jesus Christ. They're a dollar short and a day late. But this false gospel is what Paul will refute throughout this entire epistle. But in order for Paul to impact the believers of Galatia, he first will have to establish his apostolic authority. In chapter 1, he will do this throughout the chapter by revealing how he received his divine commission from the Lord Jesus Christ, just as the other 12 apostles had. Now, look at the first 3 words of verse 1. Paul, an apostle. He says, I need you to know right off the bat that what I'm about to teach you is with apostolic authority. What I'm about to show you is the word of God and not of man. Paul, an apostle. The Greek word here, apostle, is apostolos. Apostolos. It means a sent one, meaning a messenger. And he's about to reveal who it was that sent him. See, many questioned Paul's apostolic authority. They didn't believe he was an apostle. And he said, have I not seen Jesus Christ in the flesh? Am I not an apostle? Yea, doubtless, ye are my proof of my apostleship. All those who went to Jesus, amen? Paul was an apostle. He received his divine commission from Jesus Christ directly, as did the other 12. Now, something else. First of all, he'll speak negatively in verse 1. Secondly, he'll speak positively concerning his apostleship. First, negatively. Notice he writes, Paul, an apostle, not of men, neither by man. What does that mean? 2 things he says negatively. First, he says, I am not an apostle of or from men. Go to 2 Corinthians, turn back, hold your place in Galatians, 2 Corinthians chapter 1. Paul said, the first thing I want you to know is that I am not an apostle of or for men. You know who he was an apostle of and for? Jesus Christ. I'm going to show you that. Look at this. In 2 Corinthians chapter 1, somebody read verse 1.
Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ.
Time out. Apostle of who?
Jesus Christ.
I thought that's what you said. Go ahead.
By the will of God, Timothy, only our brother, unto the church of God, which is at Corinth, with all the saints which are in all Achaia.
Amen. Okay. Now, notice the wording of what Mark read right here. Paul says to the Corinthians, and remember, he founded churches in Galatia while he spent 2 years at Corinth. Okay? So, notice the timing. And he says, I am an apostle, not of men. Not for men. He says, I am an apostle of and for Jesus Christ. Paul's apostleship was unlike any other apostle. Paul received divine revelation from Jesus Christ that no other man in history received, to share with the body of Christ throughout the church age. And it's scripture. He says, I'm an apostle not of, look at it, not of James, not of Peter, not of John. I'm an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God. It's God's will to separate me unto this apostleship. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Somebody read us verse 1 there. Verse 1. Paul, called to be an apostle, what's the next word? Of Jesus Christ, through the will of God. Paul says, I am not an apostle of men. I'm not an apostle of or for men. I'm an apostle of and for Jesus Christ. Now, what did we say apostolos meant in the Greek? A sent one. A messenger. And he's simply saying, I am a messenger for Jesus Christ. A sent one for Jesus Christ. He says, I am beseeching you in Christ's stead. Receive what I say. Amen. Oh, how important this man's ministry was to the church, folks. I love that. I'm an apostle of Jesus Christ. Now, first, he says, I'm not an apostle of men. Second, he says, neither by man, back to Galatians chapter 1, verse 1, not of men, neither by man. What's that mean? He's saying, I'm not an apostle by means of men. It wasn't men who conferred apostolic authority upon me. No seminary, no council, no board of elders made me an apostle. Look what he says, not by men. I'm not an apostle by man's appointing. Oh, this is good, folks. He's establishing his authority here, and they will receive it. Secondly, positively, Paul shows how he was made an apostle. Look what he says, verse 1. Paul, an apostle, not of men, neither by man, but by Jesus Christ. Oh, now it's getting good. Now the rubber meets the road. Now Paul reveals to them how he was made an apostle. Look at the wording. By Jesus Christ, the one whom you worship, the one whom you claim to serve, he made me an apostle. That's what he's saying. Now, go with me to 1 Timothy. Hold your place again. 1 Timothy chapter 1. And somebody read us verse 1. Oh, this is good. He's going to nail it down right here in verse 1.
Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by commandment of God our Savior and Lord Jesus Christ, which is our hope.
Did you see what Miriam just read? Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the commandment of God our Savior. Who's our Savior? God, the Son. God, he's God. And he says, I've been made an apostle by a commandment from God, the Savior. Wow. He says, anybody wants to question my apostleship? You got to answer to Jesus Christ who made me one. I like that. Paul never stood on his own footing. He stood on the divine commission he received from Jesus Christ. And he'd love to give his testimony. He didn't get Agrippa, you know, any of the Festus, these Gentile kings. He loved giving his testimony of how Jesus called him to be an apostle. Now, then, secondly, he reinforces his divine calling back in Galatians 1:1 in verse number 1, saying, by Jesus Christ and by God the Father. Now, look at here. He says, by God the Father I am made an apostle, as well as by God the Son. He's got a twofold commission. Go to Acts chapter 26. Hold your place again. We're coming back. But Acts chapter 26, he's before Agrippa. And a classic case of his testimony. Look at verse 15. Paul says, and I said, you know, on the road to Damascus, when that great light appeared to him, it was Jesus. And I said, who art thou, Lord? And he said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. But rise and stand upon thy feet, for I have appeared unto thee for this purpose, to make thee a minister and a witness, both of these things which thou hast seen, and of those things in the which I will appear unto thee, delivering thee from the people, that's the Jews, and from the Gentiles, unto whom now I send thee, to open their eyes, to turn them from darkness to light, and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance amongst them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. Whereupon, O King Agrippa, I was not disobedient unto the heavenly vision, but showed first unto them of Damascus, and at Jerusalem, and throughout all the coast of Judea, and then to the Gentiles, that they should repent and turn to God, and do works meet for repentance. Paul says in verse 20, that Jesus Christ commissioned me, and I was not disobedient to his calling. I went and told everybody I came in contact with that they needed to repent and trust Jesus Christ. You see that? That Paul says, God the Father and God the Son, the Son, both appointed me. Now, something else. Notice his identification back in Galatians chapter 1. Notice his identification of God the Father in verse 1. Paul, an apostle, not of men, neither by man, but by Jesus Christ and God the Father, who raised him from the dead. Wow. He says, the person that commissioned me to be an apostle of Jesus Christ was the same one who raised Jesus Christ from the dead on the third day. Amen? This is his identification of God the Father. He wants them to know that the same God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob is the God who commissioned him. And it's his Son who sent him. So, read verse 2. Verse 2, and all the brethren, now there's a parenthesis in verse 1. You see the parentheses? That's why you need a King James Bible. You get this punctuation correct. Paul, an apostle, and all the brethren which are with me, unto the churches of Galatia. Now, here is Paul's salutation to the churches of Galatia. Notice Paul's inclusion in verse 2 of the other brethren that were with him, who were his fellow servants in ministry. Paul always had companions in ministry, and so should we. No man is an island. Then notice who he's writing to. Unto the churches of Galatia. Go to Acts chapter 16. Holding your place again in Galatians. In Acts chapter 16, I want you to quickly see where it was that he went to the churches of Galatia. In Acts chapter 16, look with me at verse 4. And as they, Paul and his companions, went through the cities of Galatia, they delivered them the decrees for to keep that were ordained of the apostles and elders which were at Jerusalem. And so were the churches established. Notice the plural, churches. Established in the faith and increased in number daily. Now when they had gone throughout Phrygia and the region of Galatia and were forbidden of the Holy Ghost to preach the word in Asia. Now here, Paul goes through Asia Minor where Galatia, all the Galatian churches were located. He's founding churches in every city as he goes through Galatia. Okay, back to our text, Galatians chapter 1. This is who he's writing to. Those churches we just read about in Acts 16:6. Okay, the churches of Galatia. Now, verse 3. Let's read verse 3. Here's his benediction. Grace be to you and peace from God the Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, I love how Paul puts his finger right on the two things that you and I need. First, we need grace. Oh, if you're born again, you need grace. You've got a great enemy, and you need grace in your daily life. Peace. We need peace, don't we? We all have trials and tribulations and heartaches and disappointments. And we need God's peace that passeth understanding to carry us through those times, don't we? Verse 3 is his apostolic benediction. Notice the equality declared between the first and second persons of the Godhead in verse 3. Look at it. Grace be to you and peace from God the Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ. You know what Paul just did? He just made Jesus Christ completely, eternally equal with God the Father because he is. Amen? If you want grace and peace, you need both the Father and the Son. I had a fellow this week, he's oneness doctrine. Jesus only. And I wrote him a simple. I quoted 1 John chapter 2, where it says, "He that acknowledgeth not the Father, the same hath not the Son. But he that acknowledgeth the Father had both the Son and the Father." And he said, I don't believe that. You know, you don't believe the Bible. I can't help you if you don't believe the Bible. Observe now in verse number 4. Three incredible things we find in verse 4. Who gave himself, Jesus Christ, for our sins, that he, Jesus Christ, might, not Moses, might deliver us from this present evil world, according to the will of God our Father. Now, three incredible truths are revealed here. First, that Jesus Christ willingly gave himself for our sins. Amen? Look at it. Verse number 4. Who gave himself for our sins. I tell you, the longer I live as a Christian, the more I grow to appreciate and love the Lord Jesus because of what he did for Bob Oliver. Oh, if he hadn't done it, I'd be on my way to hell like a bullet. And so would you. He gave himself for our sins, Galatians chapter 2. Look at verse 20. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and, what's the next word? Gave himself for me. Ooh, wow! He loved me enough to give himself for me. Here's something you got to understand, beloved. When Jesus Christ became a man, he did not stop being God. He literally became a human being so that he could give himself, that's God, manifest in the flesh, for our sins. Isn't that a powerful truth right there? Wow! What a great Savior. Matthew chapter 20. Hold your place in Galatians and go to Matthew chapter number 20. Look with me in Matthew 20 at verse 28. Even as the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to what?
Give
his life a ransom for many. That's why he came. To give his life as our ransom. Oh, how it thrills my soul that he did it. We're so blessed tonight, beloved. We are just so blessed. 1 Timothy chapter 2. Hold your place in Galatians again. 1 Timothy chapter 2. Look with me at verse 4. Verse 4. Speaking of Jesus Christ, who is God our Savior, who will have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth. For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who what? Gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time. Whereunto I am ordained a preacher and a what? There's that again. His divine commission was from God. See it in verse 7? And an apostle. I'm ordained an apostle. I speak the truth in Christ and lie not. Teacher of the Gentiles in faith and verity. He gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time. It will be. Oh, to the whole universe. I'm so glad of that. Secondly, back to Galatians chapter 1. Verse 4. Secondly, that man need... Getting ahead of myself. Verse number 4. Secondly, notice the reason why he gave himself. Verse 4. Who gave himself for our sins, that he might deliver us from this present evil world. Glory to God. Two things Paul reveals here. First, that this world is an evil place. Oh, man, everybody in church tonight knows how evil this... Don't you just hate this evil darkness we live in? These terrorists in France killing all these people this week, and ISIS chopping people's heads off, and Al-Qaeda over there, and we got terrorist cells in America now, and we got corrupt politicians in the White House, and it's evil. It's evil. You just turn the news on, and you'll see how evil it is. Right? But I'm glad this world is not my home. Amen? I'm just passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. The angels beckon me from heaven's golden shore, and I can't feel at home in this world anymore. It's an evil place, Paul says. Secondly, not only is it an evil place, secondly, that man needs divine deliverance from it. Look at it. Verse 4. That he might deliver us from this present evil world. Now let me ask you a question. Have you been delivered from this present evil world?
The answer is yes. Mark said, you're right. You have.
Oh, but I'm still in this world. Yeah, but you're not of this world. Your position in Jesus Christ is eternally perfect. That's why you're going to heaven. That's why you're saved. Because of your positional sanctification in Christ Jesus. Your home is heaven right now. You're an intruder. You're an alien here. You're a trespasser. According, that's why this world hates us, because we don't belong to this world, and they know that. Now, this we need divine deliverance from this world. AA cannot do it. Self-help programs, it'll never work. Drug treatment facilities, they go back on drugs. Why? Because those things of this world cannot deliver you from this evil world. It takes the Son of God to deliver a sinner from this evil world. Only Jesus can do it, folks. I don't care how many new leaves you turn over. Jesus Christ is the only one that can deliver you from this evil world. Go to John chapter 15, the Gospel of John chapter 15. I'm so glad he does it for every child of God that comes to him by faith. John chapter 15, look at verse 17. Words in red. Jesus said, these things I command you, that you love one another. If the world hate you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. If ye were of the world would love his own. But because ye are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you. Jesus Christ said, I have already separated you from this evil world. And that's why they hate you. You don't even have to preach to them. They just your lifestyle. You're living a godly life, they're going to persecute you because they feel guilty. They feel conviction by the Holy Spirit that is in you. See that? This world, you are not of this world. Why? You've already been delivered from it. Even though your physical body is still here, we're just waiting for the glorified body to come. Amen? I love that. Go with me to Colossians chapter 1. Hold your place in Galatians. Colossians. I love this verse. Look at it. Colossians 1, verse 12. Giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet, that's fit, to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who, what's the next word? Hath, that's past tense, beloved, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness, and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. Do you see what he said in verse 13? You've already been translated into the kingdom of God. Look at it. You've already been delivered from the power of darkness that is in this world. Verse 14, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. Wow. I am so glad that he delivered us from this present evil world. We're just waiting for our glorified body, folks. Buckle up and hang on. Jesus is coming soon. I got good news. Back to Galatians. Thirdly, in verse number 4, the third incredible truth is that it is the will of God for every one of his children to be delivered from this evil world. Look at verse 4. Who gave himself for our sins, that he might deliver us from this present evil world, according to the will of God and our Father. You do a word search, beloved, in your concordance or online. Type in the words, will of God. Will of God. And then look up every occurrence in your Bible, one by one, of will of God. I've had Christians say to me, Pastor, how can I know the will of God for my life? I tell them, read the Bible. Listen to me, church. The will of God is exactly the same for every single Christian. Did you know that? But the plan of God for every single Christian is totally different and unique. There's only one plan of God for your life. And it's the only one in the universe. But the will of God is the same for all of us. Wherever you see in the Bible, this is the will of God. This is the will of God. You know that's the will of God for all of us. Not just the pastor. Not just so-and-so. Now, the plan of God
is completely different, completely unique from any other believer. That's called the plan of God, not the will of God. Many Christians confuse the two. To realize that God has a specially designed divine plan for my life, and that only I myself can fulfill that plan, how sad is it that so many of God's people never come to the realization that He has a plan, and He wants to fulfill it through you. I'm so glad it's not me doing it. It's the Lord in you that wants to fulfill His plan for your life. All you have to do is yield to the Holy Spirit. There's the problem. Many Christians resist the yielding part to the Holy Spirit. Your will is involved. Doesn't happen by accident. Finally, read verse 5. Galatians 1, verse 5. Speaking of the will of God our Father, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Now, in closing, beloved, yes, indeed, everything that God is doing through His dear Son, by His dear Spirit, will forever redound to His eternal glory. Go with me to Philippians chapter 4 and hold your place. We're coming back to Galatians to finish up. In Philippians chapter 4, look at verse 20. And this is just, I'm just going to give you a few of the umpteen references that speak of God's glory. Look in chapter 4 of Philippians, verse 20. Now unto God and our Father be what? Glory forever and ever. Amen. 1 Timothy. Go forward from Philippians to 1 Timothy. Go to chapter 1. 1 Timothy 1. Look with me at verse 17. Now, unto the King. Who's the King? Oh yeah, Jesus Christ. Unto the King eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God, capital G, be honor and what? Glory forever and ever, amen. Now, I thought all glory was supposed to be to God the Father forever and ever, amen. Oh, yeah, Him too. You getting the picture? Yeah, the Holy Spirit is included too. All glory to Him forever and ever, amen. Go with me to 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy chapter 4. Paul's final chapter before being beheaded by Nero. Look what he says in his final words. 2 Timothy 4:18. Now, the Lord shall deliver me from every evil work, and will preserve me unto His heavenly kingdom, to whom be glory forever and ever, amen. Unto God. Glory and glory forever and ever. Go with me to Hebrews. Forward, past Titus, to Hebrews chapter 13. Hebrews 13, we're almost done, finishing up here. Glory to God, right on schedule tonight. Hebrews 13, look at me at verse 21, 7 plus 7 plus 7. Make you perfect in every good work to do His will, working, now we just got through talking about this, working in you that which is well-pleasing in His sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Oh, this is good stuff. One more and we'll be done. Revelation chapter 5. 13 times in the book of Revelation, you find this phrase, to whom be glory forever and ever, amen. 13 times. I'm just going to read you one for time's sake. Look with me at Revelation chapter 5. Look with me at verse 13. And every creature which is in heaven and on the earth and under the earth, and such as are in the sea, and all that are in them, heard I saying, blessing and honor and glory and power be unto Him that sitteth upon the throne and unto the Lamb forever and ever. Amen. You getting the picture? Folks, listen to me. I got good news, church, for you tonight. I don't care how this world looks down on you. You are an eternal trophy of the Lord Jesus Christ. And you, and you, and you, and you, and you will bring glory to Him forever and ever. You know what that means? As your pastor, I'm going to tell you something tonight. You are very important. You are very important to heaven because you will bring Him glory forever. There's enough of this negative, nasty, legalistic, hateful preaching going on in the world. You are precious. And God, that's why He loves you. You will bring him eternal glory. All right, church, back to Galatians. Let's finish up. Galatians chapter 1, verse 1. Paul, an apostle, not of men, neither by man, but by Jesus Christ and God the Father who raised him from the dead. And all the brethren which are with me unto the churches of Galatia, grace be to you and peace from God the Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins, that he might deliver us from this present evil world, according to the will of God and our Father, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Church, I want you to realize tonight that you and you and you and you and you are all a part of his eternal plan. And it's going to be out of this world. Father in heaven, how we thank you for the opening verses of the book of Galatians. Lord, how we thank you that Paul wisely established his apostolic authority before he preached the book of Galatians to the believers in the churches. Lord, how we thank you that he had a divine commission to say what he said. And Lord, I thank you that you used him to fulfill the word of God, even 14 books of the New Testament. How we thank you, dear Lord, for Pauline doctrine, wherein we stand, under grace, in this liberty, wherewith Christ hath made us free. Lord, I thank you that as long as I'm pastor of this church, these people of this church will not be brought under bondage of any system of mankind. We are under grace. We are under liberty. We are led by the Holy Spirit of God and not by any letter of law. How we thank you for that tonight. We love you, Lord, and we thank you in Jesus' precious name. And the people said, amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Folks, let's grab our hymnals for a closing hymn tonight. And let's open up to... I had it here. Yes, 177. 177. How many of you knows we're soldiers in an army marching? We're marching forward, and we're going to arrive somewhere one day. Marching to Zion, 177. Let's stand for our final hymn and sing it to the Lord. First, third, and fourth, people.
Complete that love the Lord and let our choice be known. Join in the song with sweet accord. Join in the song with sweet accord. And thus surround and prune. And thus surround and prune. We're marching to Zion. Beautiful, beautiful Zion. We're marching upward to Zion. The beautiful city of God. The hill of Zion yields a thousand sacred streets. Before we reach the heavenly view.
People. And listen, don't forget to keep Miriam and I and Esther in prayer. We're traveling to Maine in the morning. And Ellie, are you traveling in the morning?
Yeah, I'm going to finalize it with Matt.
Okay. Also pray for Ellie. She's going to Massachusetts for a few days. So praise the Lord, some traveling. And we're thankful that wherever we go, the Lord goes with us. Amen. Mm-hmm. We're surrounded by angels. What a blessing. Brother, who opened us? You opened us, right? Mark, you're going to dismiss us in prayer tonight.
Heavenly Father, Lord Jesus Christ, thank you for a wonderful group to get together tonight for prayer and love and kindness all in our hearts every day while we're on this planet, and then somewhere in each heaven.
Amen. Praise the Lord, people. And we'll see you on Sunday morning.